Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org and the studios of New York Public Radio, this is Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. Curtis Stewart is a violinist, composer, and arranger, and the current artistic director of the American Composers Orchestra. But Curtis is also the son of two professional jazz musicians. And when, at some point, he was offered the choice between composition and improvisation, he said, "Yes, please," and took both. So, on his own, and with the improvising string quartet known as Public Quartet, Curtis Stewart plays a huge variety of music. And today, he and a bunch of musical friends will give us just a hint of his range, but he's going to start us off solo with a performance of his own arrangement of the traditional Greek folk song Thalassaki Mou.
Thank you.
Okay, then. So we've started with a little bit of musical fireworks. Just Curtis Stewart solo on the violin and his own arrangement of a song called Thalassaki Mu. Practically see the smoke coming off the strings.
That's just a lot of rosin, yeah. Thalassaki Mu, it means my little sea.
Yeah.
In Greek. And my mom, I used to play music with my mom. She grew up in Poland, but she was hanging out with Greek people that lived on the outskirts of the city. And she was studying classically, but she would kind of sneak away and hang out with them. I actually inherited her apartment. I was kind of going through some of her stuff, and I found this whole book of Greek folk songs, and I was just, playing through them to kind of remember some stuff. And it almost felt like it was playing me in a way. So I just felt like this was a great homage to that side of my, where I come from.
Yeah. And it also, speaking of where it comes from, there is a long, rich tradition of classical composer violinists writing showpieces like that.
Yeah, totally.
Based on, folk songs.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, and, that was what I got most excited by, listening to those, Sarasates.
The Sarasate.
Gypsy airs. And, that's exactly what got me into playing. It's not what made me start playing violin. I started playing violin because my mom made me when I was three. But it got me into the violin when I needed to be when I was a high school kid.
Well, you can do that with a three-year-old. You can make them play violin. Your dad would have had a difficult time making a three-year-old handle a tuba.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right. I don't know if they make baby tubas. Do they do that? I should know that.
Yeah. I suspect if they did, you would know it.
I guess I would know. Yeah, right. I did play clarinet for a second, and then I went to saxophone. I absolutely loved the saxophone, and I got into Manus Prep for clarinet and saxophone. And I was so excited, and then my mom was like, "You're playing violin."
It kind of worked out for you.
Yeah, it worked out, yeah.
This piece, Thalassaki Mu, this will be on the record called Of Love.
That's right, coming out on June 2nd. Of Love was recorded in the apartment that I grew up in. I inherited my mom's apartment after she passed in 2021. I was her caretaker for 4 years before that. I was kind of dealing with being in that apartment, and all this music just kind of poured out of me, because I just really didn't know how to deal with that feeling of being in that space. So I turned one of the rooms, my partner, Meg, the miraculous Meg, let me turn one of the rooms into a studio space. And I just kind of hold myself up there, and every time those waves of grief kind of hit me, I would just put it into music, and so it turned into Of Love.
Okay. Now, the day before the release of the album, on June 1st, you and I will be at Merkin Concert Hall for an ecstatic music festival / New Sounds live program called Of Love, Of Time.
That's right, because I'm always thinking ahead. I have like three albums in the docket for myself. Of Love is this one, and I think of time as being this very abstract thing that marks like where we are, how much living we have left to do, and it feels very much outside of our life, actually. And there's certain things that mark time, like the passage of the sun, clocks ticking. There's certain environmental factors that tell us that time is passing.
Well, music is one of them.
And music is one of them, right. And so I was just, Of Time will be about tapping into musics that kind of mark our lives.
Curtis Stewart is my guest, and we'll be again on stage at Merkin Hall June 1st for the live performance of the program called Of Love and Of Time. So drawing on the project that comes out the next day and
the next project,
whatever the next thing turns out to be.
Yes, that's right.
The piece you're going to do next is one of yours, is it call and response or just call response?
It's call and call response, call and response. I don't actually, the title could be, it's funny, when I put it into Finale, this is one of the very few things I've written down that Quartet finally, I finally wrote something down for Quartet. I have a really hard time writing anything on a piece of paper. But I wrote it down, I put it into Finale, and then I put it onto a PDF, and then the PDF made a colon where there should have been a slash. So I'm very frustrated by that. But so the title is up in the air. It was written for the Carnegie Hall Play USA. They commissioned us to write pieces for young artist groups or schools around the country that were interested in beginning improvisation. So we decided instead of writing one piece, we would write four. Each one of us wrote a very short work. Mm-hmm. And then mine is call and response, and it's just the idea that when you call and you're in a certain space, you get a response and sometimes you don't. And so it's all about calling and responding and developing improvisation that way.
All right. Let's hear the Public Quartet live here in the studio. Once again, Janina Norpoth, violin, Nick Ravel, viola, Hamilton Berry playing the cello. And this piece by Curtis Stewart is called, perhaps, Call and Response. Public Quartet playing a piece written by violinist Curtis Stewart called Call and Response. And so Curtis, this is a piece that was written almost as a teaching piece, right, for young ensembles to learn to improvise?
That's right. So there's a very much written out spot at the end with chord changes over it. So I used to teach high school, and so I think in terms of like scaffolding and all these words.
Right.
There's the least amount of scaffolding in that piece.
How different would it be if another quartet, a young quartet came in here and played the piece?
The first half would be probably very, very similar. there's some aleatoric, like windy pitches that are notated, so they might, there are some optional harmonics that they can play. There are, they might play very different rhythms. It might be more or less, the texture might be more or less clear depending on how they improvise. The second half where we're kind of like rocking out, that could be entirely different. It depends on what they choose to do. They choose their own adventure there.
Okay, so the call that you just played, that da 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 da.
Right.
Very familiar sounding somehow.
Right, somehow.
That's not baked into the...
That is baked in.
That is.
That is
okay.
Baked in. So they would play that at the beginning. And it, the form of the piece is also kind of call and response. So that the first half is my call to play what I've kind of written, well, what I have written. And then the second half is the response of the group to improvise and see their way out. But the last bar is written, so there is one little bit at the end.
Okay. So you mentioned, you know, you've taught. I know you teach at the Juilliard School as well. But having taught high school, you know, it's obviously it's best to get them while they're young. And you're not done bringing musical collaborators into the studio because the next group will include some of the students from the Kaufman Music Center's Special Music School.
That's right. They're so amazing. We came to the rehearsal thinking like, oh, we're going to have to do this and this to get them to play this piece and be real. They knew it before we had opened our mouths. So they're really, I mean, it's amazing what they're able to do.
So tell me about this version of Deep River that you're going to do. I mean, you mentioned that, you know, you grew up with this music, but, you know, your dad was sort of known as an avant-garde jazz musician, and the idea that these old spirituals might have been in the house.
That's right. His father was in the Negro Leagues, so his father was...
Oh, really?
Yeah,
a professional baseball player?
Traveling all around, and actually I have a shirt from Cooperstown where they were in... He's in the Hall of Fame, the Baseball Hall of Fame.
What's his name?
Riley Stewart.
Who did he play for?
New York Cubans. He also moved around and did some other...
Wow.
So he was kind of playing baseball. So my dad was actually raised by his grandfather, my great-grandfather, who was a minister in the AME Baptist Church. So my dad, because the way that worked is he would also have to move around. And so he's got a deep, deep feeling for church, black church music and therefore the blues. And if you're playing tuba, it's coming from that southern blues, New Orleans type of thing. And then his approach is to put that music in a quote unquote modern lens using techniques of free jazz and modern jazz and improvisation. And so I'm attempting to take that same mindset and that framework. Hamilton Berry, the cellist in the quartet, and I collaborated on this arrangement. I would say he did the brunt of the work, but reclaiming the sense of the blues within Deep River.
One of my fondest musical memories coming from this studio was the late Henry Butler. Do you know him? The New Orleans pianist?
Great,
blind New Orleans
yes,
pianist.
Yes, yes, of course.
In the 1980s, came in here and sang and played Deep River. And, you know, this guy could play anything on the piano, but when he sang, he could have sung Lieder. You know, he had a classical, and he did this incredible version of Deep River.
Wow.
That, you know...
I bet that was a magical moment.
It absolutely
no
was.
No pressure for me right now. This will be very different.
But, you know, you've got, what, 9 strings?
That's right. So we've got Pubble Quartet. We've got
four
Special Music School students, and then Eleanor Oppenheim, who's an amazing bass player. And we've known her for a very long time. When Jesse Montgomery was in Public Quartet, we would go to Eleanor's parties and hang out. And now they're in a duo, Big Dog, Little Dog, and we did a whole collaboration last year. So, it's a big family gathering.
I was telling Eleanor before we went on mic that the last time I saw her, she was the one who was keeping our Terry Riley in C performance for his 80th birthday at American Hall. She was the one keeping that from going totally off the rails.
Good.
So, So
she's doing the same for us.
maybe not a conductor, quote unquote, but, you know, certainly
Conductress.
Driving the train.
Yeah, of course.
All right, let's hear this performance of Deep River.
Thank you.
Very nicely done. That is a version of Deep River for, let's see, it's essentially two string quartets and a double bass from my guest Curtis Stewart playing the violin with the rest of the public quartet, of which he's a member. So Janina Norpoth, Nick Ravel, Hamilton Berry. The other quartet, some of the members of the Special Music School at the Kaufman Music Center, Biana Bell, Fiona Cashin, Nicholas Vanderveen, and Yumi Park, with Eleanor Oppenheim playing the double bass. And Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a little call and response there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, a little call and response. I mean, it's such a deep part of Black American music, the sense of call and response. It's a way of learning. It's a way of bonding. It's a way of communing, feeling, and relieving yourself of the pains that you may be experiencing at that time. I have to say that this piece is based on the Samuel Coleridge Taylor, but it's also based on the Maud Powell arrangement for violin and piano that she created of the Samuel. So it's like an arrangement of an arrangement in a way.
Okay. Well, this has been great fun. I can't wait till we get to do it all again.
Yes, let's do it. Let's do it next week. I'll bring a whole other ragtag group of people in. I also have to just shout out to these kids at SMS. I hate calling them kids, but, you know, it's more saying that I'm old and they're young.
Yeah.
And I have to say, you guys are amazing. So thank you for being a part. And thank you to Eleanor for helping us out as well.
So Thursday, June 1st at Merkin Hall. The program's called Of Love, Of Time, Curtis Stewart, and many, many more musical friends.
That's right.
Curtis, this has been great fun. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks as well to our technical director, Irene Trudell. Max Fine produced this session. And that'll do it for this edition of the program. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.